Welcome to Promised Land at Home podcast, where we bring people into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. Wherever life has you, we pray that today's sermon both challenges and encourages you. We're so glad you're listening today and hope you enjoy the message.
So, Matthew 16, 13, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Verse 14, well, they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Let me just stop there for a second and think about what happened or what was going on when they said this response to him. When they said John the Baptist, and then especially Elijah, Jeremiah, prophets, they listed off like the rock stars of the Jewish faith. These were the people that everyone looked up to, the upper echelon of heroes in the Jewish faith. So it would have made sense if Jesus would have said, okay, good. I'm on track. But he doesn't stop there, and he's very interested if his followers believe that that's all he is. In other words, a great teacher, a prophet, even a miracle worker, social justice warrior. It'd be like a golfer. There's a golfer, and we say, "You're the next Tiger Woods." Oh, wow, that's great. That's awesome. To be mentioned in that sentence, a basketball player, "You're the next Michael Jordan." Wow. That's literally what they're saying. But that's not why Jesus came. That's not why he was born and lived the way he lived and did what he did. So verse 15, he says, then he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" He really wanted to know what his disciples and the guys around him thought of him. Verse 16, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." When Jesus asked the question originally, he says, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And Peter says that you're the Son of God. Now that answer right there would have been blasphemous in front of the religious leaders. This sentence is a whole nother level. You're not just a great figure, but you're literally the Son of God. You're the Messiah of the world. So how does Jesus respond to that? Verse 17, Jesus replied, "You're blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you." I really want to spend just the next few minutes on this text right here, and I want you to just leave it up on the screen so that we just have it there. Jesus replied, "Simon, son of John, you're blessed. You're blessed because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being." A profound message right here is that salvation is Jesus. Jesus is salvation. That's what Peter says. You're the Messiah. You're the Savior of the world. You are salvation. You're our eternal salvation. The work of Jesus, when he died on the cross, was buried in the tomb, and then rose on the third day, he took our place of sin, our place of punishment because of sin. He took on the sins of the world, nails them to the cross, dies, is buried, and defeats death and the curse of death and the grave when he comes out of that tomb victorious. We're going to celebrate that Easter weekend, April 8th and 9th. We're going to celebrate that resurrection, that Jesus is our salvation. That salvation is not a process. Salvation is a person. Salvation is Jesus. And not just eternal salvation, but salvation of situations you're in right now, like earthly situations, like financial stuff, family stuff, professional stuff, school, Texas State, high school, whatever health issues you've got, that you're going to tire yourself out trying to figure out the steps, and then this is what's so interesting about this concept. When Jesus is our solution, Jesus is our salvation, it confronts that. It confronts that need for an answer, for a perfect, figured, you know, everything figured out. And so, but this text right here, verse 17, is so powerful. And what it's saying is that to understand beyond just mental assent or, you know, logically that Jesus is the Savior of the world, you could hear me say that and you could just keep coming to Promised Land, keep watching online, keep hanging around people that say that, and sort of start thinking that. And there's people in this room today that you consciously would say, I don't really believe that, or maybe subconsciously you don't believe that. And I just want you to know that what Jesus said here is what we believe here. And that is that the only way to cross over from Jesus just being a good guy, a good teacher, a good prophet, whatever, and being the Savior of the world, something that God reveals to you. And for all of you in here today that say you believe that, I want you to remember this text from Jesus, that you did not come upon that by yourself, but that God revealed that to you. Now, you had a choice to say yes to that or no to that. We believe that. But it takes a lot of weight off of us, especially preachers. I was talking to Pastor Emilio about this as we're going through this sermon series and other messages, and saying, the mantle of salvation is not on me. You're not going to be saved because I say it the right saved because I say it the right way, or am funny enough, or charismatic, or convicting enough, or, you know, say it just the right way. We as humans participate in it, but it is ultimately a supernatural thing. Salvation is a supernatural thing that happens when God reveals that to you. So, what do you think?
Yes, I love this scripture so much, because when I heard it, and we, Robin and I, talked about it a little bit, he wouldn't let me talk much because he wanted to get up here and just have a conversation, which is always makes me a little nervous.
Hang on a second. That sounded really awful when I said I didn't want you to talk. I didn't want us to like hash it out at the house. I wanted us to hash it out here.
Yeah.
So this is a fresh conversation and not just like some rote presentation.
Which I love. I love, and it's one of those things like, well, I hope I don't side trail the whole sermon accidentally. When we were talking about the scripture, I love this because it says, you did not learn this from any human being. When we're pursuing God, I think there is this weight sometimes. So let me back up a little bit. So this mainly is to people that have been in church or have any kind of church culture in your family. There used to be, did anybody see the Jesus Revolution movie? Any few of you? Okay. Anyway, they dropped tracks from a plane. So for all of you that are getting older, like maybe me, they used to pass out paper things. They're like, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And there's this scripture, and this is how to come to know him. And people would dump them from airplanes, or sometimes you would walk down the street and pass them out to people, or go knock on people's doors. Y'all, that gives me cold chills to my core. Like, I have no desire to go tell people.
Cold call.
And oh, God, just like, no, give me any other job. I'll scrub the toilets and the floors for a year. I just don't want to do that. Anyway, that might be a bit extreme, but but this, there's this aspect of this that really lifted a weight for me, realizing that the power is not in me saving someone,
yeah,
or me converting them. It's that old, another saying, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. You cannot force somebody to know God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's that. You didn't learn this from a human. You may have been exposed to that. You may have heard the good news, but it's a work that is spiritually done by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, a lot of times people just don't do anything at all because they feel like they're not educated enough, they don't know enough about the Bible. What if I get into a debate and I don't know how to answer a question? So many different scary things out there when it comes to having these conversations.
Can I just say, it's okay to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
Those are powerful words.
Okay, so what I want us to talk about is how there is two sides of this and how we can be balanced in the middle of it. So on one side would be, salvation is up to you. You go out and win the lost. You go save people. And all that looks like is this one avenue that you're talking about in the 70s, 80s, 90s, which was, it looked a certain way. You had to do it a certain way. And if you didn't have that personality type, which is, some people have that personality type and they do great in it, go for it.
Yes, it's
but
a
But many people don't.
Gift. Yeah.
Yeah, many people don't. And so what about all those people? And so the weight of salvation was on the person, and you've got to go do it. You've got to fix them, save them, or whatever. And it just brought all this weird heaviness. And then there's the far other extreme on the religious spectrum in modern-day Christianity. A lot of people have made, a connection with Reformed theology or Calvinism, where they would say that it is completely God, that humans have no part in it whatsoever. And so there's two ends of the spectrum. At Promised Land, we look at this right here and we understand that it is God who does this supernatural work, but that he also invites humans into the process. And even if it is like an angel that appears before someone, that does happen sometimes, or it is you going and cold calling and someone answers the door and they were like, God, give me a sign, and you're the sign. They still have the choice to say yes or no to that revelation of who Jesus is. So how do we participate in what we would call evangelism, which is to help people into the faith and into this? How do we manage these two things that seem opposing, which is I'm a part of it, but God is the one that does it? Mm-hmm. So there's a text in Matthew chapter 5, same book, a few chapters, 11 chapters before this, that I want to read. And Jesus, the reason why Peter and the disciples were at this place where they said, you're the Messiah, is because Jesus embodied what we're about to read here. Jesus himself embodied what we're about to read here. But what we're reading here is Jesus commissioning us to do this, to embody this. So this is Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. So that's a pretty heavy, like, you're involved in this process. You are to be the salt and don't lose your saltiness. Now, I know salty has become a new word. We don't want you to be that kind of salty necessarily. Verse 14, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. So he uses three things here: salt, light, and a city. And each of those is massive. They brought a lot of different, you could do a sermon on each one of those and not even fulfill its meaning. But salt was a massive part of their life back then. We take it for granted now because it's on every table. But back then, wars were fought over salt. It was like, they didn't have refrigeration back then, so salt was their preservation of food. And then in this context, he's talking about the flavor that salt brings. So he's saying, you're going to bring flavor. You're going to bring preservation to the world around you. You're going to make a difference when you're applied to the world because you're salt. So, but then he says, you're the light of the world. What do you think? What when you hear that, what comes to mind?
I think you can have too much salt. Salt can be too much, and light as a lamp or a fire can be too much and burn something up or make it too salty. And I think maybe I'm making up my, this is where you may wish you hadn't had me up here, but but I think when we try to do it on our own and put ourselves in the seat of being this one who's going to save and do the work of salvation in someone and be the one that transforms their lives instead of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings just the right amount of salt and just the right amount of light for us to be that in the world.
So we're to be obedient to God and allow His Spirit to come forth out of us. And that's where we participate in this conversion process. You're the light of the world. And then he says, a city on a hilltop. I think it's so cool that that's a very big part of our local geography. We can look to that and say San Marcos is a city on a hill, university on a hill. Actually, our church is at a higher elevation than downtown. So I just love that. There's a lot of different things about this that I think is really cool. But back in those days, a city was a place of safety. They had walls around the city. And if you're traveling very far distance, you would always look for a city to stop in because there was safety in a city. And you would never spend the night outside of the city gates when you're traveling from a far distance. So what he's telling them is that's who you are. You're that safe place for people to go to when they have nowhere else to go. And they're on search for something. They're going to come to you because they see something in you that is very practical for them, that could be helpful to them. And so that's who you are as a church, Promised Land, as a church, as participating as a, in the church of San Marcos. We're a place where people can come. So we're salt, we're light, and we're a city set on a hill. Verse 15, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Verse 16, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will follow you on Twitter. So that everyone will like you. So that you will be rich. So that your life will be perfect. All of those. So that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. That's what it's all about, right? So I want us to just bring it home here with this idea. What does that look like for you in your everyday life? You said you're not out there going door to door. You said you're not passing out tracts. What are you doing?
For me, that looks like serving people and loving them.
What does serving mean?
Serving means just doing my job and taking care of them, regardless of their past, regardless of who they are, what they believe.
Some people may not know what your job is. Give us some more details. Come on, give us some.
I'm a midwife, and I have a birth center, and I take care of lots of women and their babies and the babies that they're birthing.
Yep. Yeah, there's a scripture in the New Testament that says, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. So you're doing that, which is a beautiful thing. It's a part of God's process. So it's kind of like church work, like, oh, you're a midwife, you serve people. But what if you work in retail?
I think it's still serving people.
Someone comes into your life, into your space. What can I do to be a light? What can I do to serve this person?
I love this because it's not just about... I think people a lot of times assume because I'm the pastor's wife that somehow I have some spiritual knowledge about things, which is not accurate.
She married me not realizing that I was going to be a pastor.
He was a youth pastor. I thought, oh, that's cute. He'll grow up and do something else.
True story.
True story.
Maybe someday I will, babe. Maybe someday.
Anyway, I love talking about this because it's brought so much freedom to me to know that each of us, myself, you, everywhere you are, you know, in the last service I said something about, you know, not everybody's evangelist. And I meant that purely from that standpoint of...
It looks a certain way.
Looking a certain way. You know, you have to go meet people in the street and convert them and all that. And Robin really explained it a little better as we're all evangelists. We're all out here doing something, hopefully, that God has called us to do and living in that. And we each have this opportunity to be a light and not be a burning inferno that drives them away because we're trying to convert them on our own, but allowing the Holy Spirit to move through us, to minister to them, and trusting that God is going to do a work that we can't do.
What about when they don't
on our own
act or with the way you want them to act? What if it takes a long time? What if they, mm-hmm. what if they do things that aren't biblical?
It's so tempting in those moments. Our flesh wants to control things and change things. We want to make something right. We're like, hey, if you do A and B, it's going to equal C. And the temptation is to put ourselves in the place of God, that somehow if we just tell them, not that there's not opportunity, if there's an open door and somebody comes to me and says, hey, I'm struggling with this, what do you think about that? Of course I'm going to speak truth to them in love, but I'm going to wait for that door. And so much about this journey is about waiting on God, waiting for the Holy Spirit to open a door to be able to minister to people and trusting God's timing is perfect. Our timing is pretty warped half the time. We have unrealistic expectations.
Yeah, and sometimes you are literally a part of that moment when God is revealing it to them. And it's like that the Heavenly Father has revealed this to you doesn't mean that it was like Peter in his private closet all of a sudden, like a bolt of lightning, revealed it to you. It was definitely in the context of other human beings. And so there are those moments that it happens. But I think what a lot of us struggle with is we expect people that do not believe in Jesus to act like people that believe in Jesus.
Right.
And we have these expectations on them when in reality it should not surprise us that someone who doesn't walk in the path of Jesus acts completely opposite of what the Bible teaches, and that doesn't have to be a prerequisite for us to connect with them and love on them. Now there's a line that can be crossed where you begin to live in a way yourself that is not healthy or right. So any other thoughts you want to share on that? I wanted to share this message with you in this context, very informal, very just sort of conversational, because I'm hoping that everybody in here, no matter, you know, where you come from, if you're in that place where you've said, you know what, I have seen the light, and Jesus is my salvation, and you're walking in that path, maybe you just started or you're just beginning, I hope you can see that God is excited about you participating in other people coming to know him as well. But at the same time, the complete mantle of that salvation is not on your shoulders. It's on Jesus's shoulders, and he is very, very capable of saving your kids, your spouse, your family members, your coworkers, neighbors. And he knows all the details of their life already. And he just wants you to be with them. First of all, being aware that you can participate in this. But that he is working. He's working. So A very practical way to think through this is just seeing people that are in your life right now that God has put you here, like Esther in the Old Testament. God says to Esther, you have been put here for such a time as this. This is the moment. This is the place. You are the person to interact with these people that you're around to be a light. And Erica has been very, very helpful to me because I have seen her love people and shine a light to people that have never and will never come in these doors. And she's so consistent with it, and she does it in her own personality, and the salt and the light is very unique to her, just like it is with all of us. But she's a great person to look up to model after, and she's challenging to me. And so I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that God is going to put you in the path of people that need Jesus. And sometimes those people will really act mean, rude, short, grouchy. And really what they're saying is, I need Jesus. But that's not what they're saying. That's what they're meaning. What they're saying is, beep, I cannot believe, you know, whatever. Are you able in those moments to take a deep breath? Lord, shine through me today. Don't take it personal. And then maybe there's people in your life that aren't like that. They're not rude or harsh, but they're just not getting it. They're just, it's just not happening fast enough. It's just not, like, so frustrating. You're tired. You're not sure what else that you can do. I'm just praying that the Lord will give you the words to say at the right time. And if there's ever a moment to invite someone to church and actually say, hey, why don't you come with me? It's Easter weekend. So think about people that are in your circle right now that are close, that God is, it's like, I know we got to finish because time's running out, but it's very much like agriculture. Jesus uses this example over and over, how some sow the seed, some water, God produces the harvest, God produces the growth. So be thinking about people that are in your life that are ready, you know, and so invite them to come with you on Easter Sunday. We're going to be, you know, preaching the truth, and God's going to reveal himself to people in many ways. Would you stand to your feet? Let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, I'm so honored and pleased and privileged to be with my church family and so many new faces here in the building today. God, I pray you challenged us. I pray, Lord, that you stimulated some thoughts. God, I pray that you've encourage some people that are struggling. Lord, but we are so thankful, so grateful for the work that you've done, Jesus, on our behalf to pave the way for us to have eternal life with God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all the credit and the honor and the glory. And God, we're honored that we can participate in this great movement to be salt, to be light, to be a city. In Jesus' name, God, I pray that that stirs something up in us, God, and we keep pursuing it, keep praying. Lord, I pray that people just pray through Matthew 5, 13, 14, 15, 16. God, just pray through that. Lord, how can I be salt today? Lord, how can I be the light today? How can I be a place of safety and a place of refuge for people that are hurting and lost and without you, God? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget, we want to connect with you. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube by searching Promised Land San Marcos, on Instagram at PSM Church, or on our website, psmchurch.com. Thanks again for listening to the Promised Land at Home podcast.